Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network, and of course, available on all the major podcast platforms around the world. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
It's ever so nice to know, ladies and gentlemen, that over 65,000 unique listeners from around the world, 77 countries, in fact, now, tune in every week to listen to the voice of homeopathy. So from Nyla and I, thank you so very much. It's so heartwarming. And please, for the new listeners, of course, follow and subscribe. And if you want any specific guest as far as the world of homeopathy is concerned, do let us know. And we will do our utmost to get him or her on the show, right?
We are absolutely very approachable. Just go on our socials and send us a message, and we'll do whatever we can to get that person on the show.
Yeah,
for everyone.
Absolutely. No autographs, though, but absolutely. So, go, Nyla.
We have a wonderful guest with us today, and we are delighted to welcome a homeopath whose name has become synonymous with acute prescribing, practical clinical wisdom, and dedicated service to the profession, Marcus Christou. Marcus graduated from the College of Homeopathy in 1990, and over the last three decades and a half decade, has become one of the UK's most respected practitioners, teachers, mentors, and lecturers. His passion for homeopathy has taken him across countless colleges, conferences, and professional organizations, where he has inspired generations of homeopaths through his engaging teaching style and his remarkable ability to make acute prescribing both accessible and clinically effective.
Now, in the very same year that Marcus qualified, he founded the Traveling Homeopaths Collective, a unique charitable initiative providing homeopathic care and information at outdoor events. Woo! Love outdoor events, especially in the summer. A project that continues to demonstrate homeopathy in action, helping people where they are. And that's it's so beautiful, that is, to know that, you know, and it's a very successful collective, literally, and we are going to talk more about that. His contribution to the profession has been immense, from mentoring practitioners and supervising with the Society of Homeopaths to organizing continuing professional development, CPD, and annual conferences. And Marcus has devoted much of his career not only to treating patients, but to supporting and developing fellow homeopaths. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to tell you, Nyla and I, he's one of the nicest, humblest people in this profession. It's just so nice.
And in recognition of his outstanding service, he was awarded the Fellowship of the Society of Homeopaths in 2004, the highest professional honor of the society. Many of our listeners will also know Marcus through his acclaimed teaching programs, The Art of the Acute and The Art of Acute Therapeutics. These courses have become something of a benchmark for practitioners wanting greater confidence in managing acute illness, blending classical philosophy with practical everyday prescribing. Marcus has also lectured extensively throughout the UK, spoken on subjects ranging from acute therapeutics to Lyme disease, and continues to bring enormous enthusiasm to everything he teaches.
Wonderful indeed. And hey, off the grid, he has a wonderful lifestyle in the Hampshire countryside, full of trees and flora, let's say. where he also pursues another lifelong passion, which is playing the tabla. Dumba 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 dum. Sorry about that. I couldn't resist. It was just too much for me. The classical drums of India.
And Marcus, your warmth, generosity, and lifelong commitment to homeopathy have inspired so many within our profession, and it's a real pleasure to welcome you to the Homeopathy Health Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for inviting me. It's taken a bit of time, but we've now all three of us connected up. So a big thank you to you both for
No,
allowing me to come.
it's wonderful. It's so wonderful to have you. And we met you, of course, earlier this year at the Society Conference and in May, where Dr. Farouk Master was presenting on homeopathy in oncology. And you do so much behind the scenes, and we've certainly noticed that. And it's just beautiful to see that, because that's one of the greatest gifts, isn't it? Just to serve humanity, just to help people. And with the work that you're doing, traveling around with the Homeopaths Collective, it's inspiring, I have to say.
We before we delve into anything else, there is always this curious question: how did you come to homeopathy?
And why?
And why? You're going to be mad, yeah. 37 years of being in practice and doing running a charity, you've got to be mad to be at home now. But you've got to work outside the box. So, yeah, what happened to me was I originally was in a catering profession, and I worked my way up to management level. And after my plans were 40 to run a vegan and an organic restaurant on the Cowley Road in Oxford, I ended up going back to London and got offered a number of jobs. I took the lowest paid one at the homeopathic hospital in Great Ormond Street. So I became their caterer. I had the great pleasure of upsetting Charles Elliot, who was the Queen's physician at the time. I say upsetting him. I gave him a cooking sherry and rich tea biscuits when he wanted sherry with digestive biscuits. No, with rich tea biscuits. Let's get around the right way. I gave him digestive. He needed rich tea. Anyway, a quill pen letter arrived, ranting at me with his telephone number, and I phoned him up and I went, "Okay, I'm really sorry. I've only just been in this unit a number of days. I didn't know what you had. I asked the staff. They hadn't got a clue." And we chalked up a friendship. I managed to give him the best sherry that money could buy within his budget. And we found the nice rich tea biscuits he liked. And he was as happy as Larry. And in the end, we ended up doing Masonic spreads for him because he was a member of an organization called the Order of St. Lazarus. And as we know, St. Lazarus was a healer. They used to meet in a crypt in a church across the square of Queen Square, that was. And I said, I would love to have been a fly on the wall to see what they got up to. But he just said to me, I was very good at listening, the day I phoned him up, he remembered. And he said to me, "You're such a good listener." He said, "Why don't you study homeopathy?" And I smiled. And I said, "I've just put an application in to the College of Homeopathy." Anyway, well done. And then he shared a bit more about his life. He was pretty ostracized by the faculty of homeopathy because he was also a chiropractor. So that began my journey in homeopathy. Also in the village I lived in Essex at the time with my parents. Well, that was before I moved to London, should I say. There was somebody in the village who ran a local health food shop in the next village, and she was a herbalist, and then she became a homeopath. And I used to see her wading through these books, and one day I said, "What are you doing? What is this amazing thing that looks like a dictionary?" And she tried to explain what homeopathy was, and then I say a few years later, there I was studying it. So, yeah, that's how I got into
Amazing.
it.
It really is. That's very, very inspiring to know, actually. I do like that story as well. It actually takes us back to quite an interesting story you may not know. We had Tony Pincus on, and he obviously has the Royal Warrants, and he shared a story that he was called by, I think, the private secretary to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and they said, "You're summoned." And he walked into Buckingham Palace, and he said, "It was just me and the Queen in this room, and she had all these remedies, really old ones." And she says, "I'm not going to do an impression, obviously, of the Queen, but she asked him in her mannerism, 'Can you check if any of these have expired?" And it was such an interesting moment. It's just like you think, wow, where do you find yourself? And this is with homeopathy, you never know where it's going to take you, right? You can take you
You
to
don't.
places which you could just cannot imagine.
Well, no, I was fortunate because I used to, on a Friday night, because I got to know the faculty staff very well, because the faculty was next door in the same building. And on a Friday night, I'd go into the library, the faculty library, and I'll borrow books, and I had to bring them back in a plastic bag and leave them in a certain place on a Monday morning. So nobody ever knew that I was borrowing these
Oh.
amazing books.
Oh wow. So much for security.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah. So much.
it's a royal thing.
Yeah. You've just said in a plastic bag, right? It just there was there's the, we're gonna just lighten it slightly, okay? So someone has asked this question, okay? I buy my chicken from the supermarket and it's pl in plastic in a plastic wrap. I buy my apples and they're in a plastic wrap, right? I buy milk and it's in a plastic whatever it is bottle, right? And any other items I pick up, they're always wrapped in plastic. Yet when I get to the checkout, they say you have to pay for the plastic carrier bag because it's bad for the environment. It's like, hello, 10 pence to 40 pence. And it's like, you just spent £88 or something, right? On plastic.
Plastic.
What does that even mean? What are you trying to do? How am I supposed to feel bad about this?
That was funny, actually.
Oh, really? Brilliant. I did
That was actually funny.
it.
Okay, Marcus, that's such an amazing story, how we come to homeopathy. It's a journey because in other parts of the world, we know that they pursue a homeopathy as a profession at a very young age. But here, it's usually our second or third profession, and it becomes our lifestyle. And for you when you graduated that same year, you what was the idea behind a collective homeopathic collective?
I grew up as a somebody in my late 20s, late teens, early 20s, in the green fields of Glastonbury. And so the first Glastonbury I ever went to was probably in 1984. And it was the first green field we had. And we did 2 years in 84 and 85. And then we moved up the track into another part of the festival, and the whole thing expanded. So in 1989, Elaine Walker, who's another prominent homeopath, was giving up managing the marquee that did homeopathy. And it's who you know, not what you know, right? So there I am in my final year, and I get asked by a dear friend of mine who was managing in Greenfields. This is Anne Waterhouse. She said to me, "How about you running the marquee? Because Elaine wants to give up." And I went, "I don't think I can do that. What can I do?" And "No, I don't want to do it," I said. "I know you've got to." So I switched from doing green campaigning into running the homeopathic marquee in 1990. So literally directly after graduation, I drove to Glastonbury from London from graduating, and I got ill. I got dysentery. There was dysentery on site. They never actually labelled it dysentery, but looking at the symptom picture, I always like to know what disease it is because just I want to know, just it's how my brain works. And I was telling everyone to bog off out of my vehicle when they came in because I'm making it dirty. And somebody said to me, "Have you taken any arsenicum?" And I just held up this bottle or packet I got, and I said, "Yes, I'm taking arsenicum. Get out of my truck. You're making it dirty." So there was 12 of us, I think, that worked that first year, and there was a number of graduates and one student, and Carol Boyce came along and Linda Shannon, as she is now, and they so we had a couple of teams, and we sort of did 8 till about midnight, I think, and I think we treated about 200 people or thereabouts, and it was amazing. I thought Linda and Carol would survive very well. But because I used to go and do the Banerjee Clinic in Calcutta, and I thought, okay, they can do that. Not I'd ever been to India, but from people I knew that had been and Indian people I knew, I thought, well, if they can cope with that, they can cope with the Glastonbury Festival. I was wrong. They both struggle with a lot of different things, and they gain as much out of it as we do. We glean the homeopathic knowledge from them, and and they glean stuff from the rest of us that have been. Outdoor events over the years.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So yeah, it was literally there that I sort of got it taken on board and I was given the gauntlet, really. And I thought, well, it can't end here, because I've been doing a number of festivals with campaigning. I think it can't end here. So we ended up starting to do the Cambridge Folk Festival for the City Council. And that's the only one we've done consistently every year up until last year, where they had to take a fallow year, and then the 2 years they were off during the pandemic. So 3 years in 37 that we haven't done it.
Wow.
Wow, what a record. Wow.
And the council love us because we complement neatly the St John's Ambulance, which have a huge setup, and we complement the Samaritans. So you've got a talking therapy, hands-on therapy, and us in between. You know, so people have come from one to the other, and you know, you can see them batting around. I'm going to go and see them, or go and see them and come back once you've had it all dressed, and we'll then deal with you homeopathically. So,
wow.
I see what we're doing really is working. Now, over the years, more and more so that we're working alongside people. It's not about, you know, we can be individuals, but if we can't work as a team with all these other people, we don't want to alienate the medics. There's a place for them at every event, you know what I mean? So we need to be working alongside them. So when I get stuck in, or when we get stuck, should I say, in healing areas, mm-hmm. where it's all hippy-dippy and preaching to the converted, I get a bit fed up with that, you know, because it's just like we're not moving the message on. And yeah, we want to move the message on so we get more people studying homeopathy, so we get the next generation of homeopaths. Because what we're suffering from right now in the profession is there's not many younger people coming in. We're becoming old, all of us, you know. And so the longevity of anything is not a good one, you know. And you start to think, well, how can you move something on? You know, it's a big question. And it's not just generally me with the travelling homeopaths. When I talk to Corinne Stewart from Society, all the time we're saying, well, where are we going? You know, it's a bigger picture. And she said, we're the younger homeopaths that can come and talk for us. I said, there's only a mere handful, and we'll put those on. And there's nothing after that. They're not being, it's interesting. What I've realised is people want things on a plate, they want everything delivered on a plate, and they don't want to go off that plate because it's uncomfortable. So we don't have as many pioneers, younger pioneers, as we had 20, 30 years ago.
We're in a bit of a predicament, aren't we, here as well, because the new generation are very savvy with taking control of their own health and what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with all the technologies they're surrounded by, it's almost like, I'm not really sure though what I really want to end up doing. But takes us back to what you just said, you know, with the collective. It's grassroots homeopathy, and it's brilliant. It really is. It's literally, physically, hand to mouth, isn't it? There you go. Here's the remedy. What have you got? You know, acute prescribing and helping those in need. You can make lifelong advocates of homeopathy just by doing that. It's so powerful.
Well, I can tell you a story about that. So we take 15 to 20 minutes to take a case. 15 is better. If you're busy, you need to stick to 15 minutes. You know, particularly at Glastonbury on a couple of the busy days, which is a Thursday and a Friday, you can have a queue going out the door. You know, and then if they're really nutsy, they're just gonna go off and say, "Oh, I'm not coming back here. I'm waiting too long for you." You know, and off they go. And you're thinking, "Well, if only I'd taken a case quickly in 30 seconds. You know, name, address, or whatever, and you know, gave them, you know, some nucks to take. You know, that it may have been a life changer and a game changer, but." Yeah, so we take about 15 minutes to take it all because we have to. And so this is how all my training's evolved, really. It's like reflecting on what I've been doing. And how can I make their job easier for somebody? You know, I've watched people take cases, and I've allowed them when the time is permitted at some of the other events where they can be busier in a different way. Yeah, overall, we can be busier per capita for the number of people on site compared to Glastonbury. Mm. But it's the way that the demographic works and the rest of it all. So I can remember watching one homeopath, she'd not long graduated, take about an hour to take a case. And I just wanted her to do that because she was never going to learn from those mistakes. She was never going to do it in 15 minutes. So I didn't allow her to make the mistakes that she was making. And I said, okay, what information she's got? She passed me a bit of paper with like four answers on it all. And in that time of her, you know, doing this, like, you know, 40 minutes into it or whatever, when she ran over to me with this thing, I said, well, what information? She said, I've got nothing. I said, well, what remedy would tell you nothing? And I said, have you watched since she's come out of the heat of the sun? She's actually, what's she doing? She's improved, she said. I said, so what remedy is that? She says, nature muriatic. And I said, yes, that's the right remedy. You're never going to forget this remedy again. Mm-hmm. And you're now going to realise that it doesn't matter how long you take with an acmure, if they can't answer the question or they don't want to go there, then that's telling you what remedy they need. Exactly. And it can be really simple. It can be really simple. Sometimes you can get it in minutes, you know, or even seconds, but you've got to put that to one side and be objective and still take the case.
Yeah.
And it's got to be quick fired, you know. So this is why you've got to keep questions open-ended and all the rest of it, because if you don't, then you know if you keep letting out, and then you've got to keep them on track, you know. So if you don't do that, then you can end up somewhere else, and before you know it, you know, you're 40 minutes into it and you've not got any closer to finding similar.
That's what we think about. Yeah, we are lost in the jungle of the story, and we have lost the sensory homeopathy that we were talking about in the beginning, that we have to perceive everything from all senses. The aphorism 84 that we were talking about, I think if you can, for our listeners, bring that in. How do you do that in 15 minutes, taking a case in 15 minutes and giving a remedy? How does that work for you in that 10? Because we are now accustomed to using all the softwares and have the AI engines and everything, and still, sometimes the remedy is not so clear. How do you do that, Marcus?
Well, I make sure that I get the etiology. Once we know what's caused the problem, we're halfway there. Then I want to know the modalities of what's going on right now. This is what's important. What's important with acutes is we have a little bit of a line, don't we? We have the beginning, the middle, and the end, And the end is either kill or cure with an acute, But we don't meet many kills, so that's okay. We need to find out where they're on the journey of that acute illness. So we need to have an understanding of the pathology as well, because we know then what the expected outcome could be, you know, where they're going to go into the second stage. It's a bit like treating chicken pox. We know that to begin with, the eruption happens and then it goes all over the body and then they start to scab over. And at that point, they're no longer infectious. And at that point, the remedy's different. You know, it might be Roustox. You know, it might be, you know, something completely different. But yeah, so you've really got to be really careful. You've got to be a detective. So you've got to really find out what symptoms are going on right now. This is the important part of it. We can get a client will get fixated on this whole journey. Well, I had a fever, I had this, I had that. Yeah, but right now, you've come into me now. Why have you come in at this time? Why are you eating that particular bowl of food? I mean, this is what's good about working in a drop-in clinic or at a festival. People will be doing things as well as what they're doing is talking to you. And that will give you another picture of what's going on. So this is when I began to realise it was well and good getting the symptoms, the modalities and the affinities, you know, getting those four sections all together. You really needed then to be sort of focusing on using your senses. So you've got to start hearing things. You've got to listen to the people's bodies. You've got to start smelling them. You've got to start tasting them. And I don't mean going over and licking them or biting them, because that would be pretty weird. And you probably get struck off as well.
No comment.
So same thing. But the olfactory works by taste and smell together, yeah?
Yeah.
So what can you actually smell coming off that person's body? They might have a severe case of flatulence and it smells like moldy eggs, or they might be burping and it smells like a brewery, you know. And you've got to find what word is, but then you've got to put it into a homeopathic word as well, into a homeopathic context. So, you know, as well as that, we're listening, we're looking at them, and we're tasting them and smelling them. And then we're really then using that sixth sense as well, where we're actually, what can I actually feel coming off this person? So their whole body language, everything will tell you something about the actual individual. And then you can quickly ask them very quickly, quick questions, where, why, when, whatever, you know, and keep those open-ended questions going, not so you get yes and no answer. As soon as you get a yes and no answer, they're gone. As soon as you interrupt the client, as it says in aphorism 84, they stop talking from the subconscious and going to the consciousness. Part of these particular words, but over the years I began to realize that's what actually happens. And then they don't tell you what you need to hear, and you go nowhere with it. And it doesn't matter what you ask them, you can never get back because you've done the interruption. The skill is to actually steer the person back gently back to where you want them. So you might actually be listening. You've got to really listen really, really quite intently. And you want to get to the point where you can say, well, what did you mean by this? And at that point, you can bring them back and they go, blah, 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 and they give you a keynote. So sometimes you can be like keynote prescribing. But you do need to know the journey of the acute, you know, the beginning, middle, and the end, and the actual disease process of it all. It then makes life a lot easier to find the subminimum. So quickly you can hone in to two or three remedies. Sadly, some of those are polycress. I mean, the biggest thing I hate treating is hay fever, because people come in, these acute flare-ups of a chronic. It's something that should be treated in the autumn, you know, using constitutional prescribing and the indicated miasmatic energies, along with specifics for whatever the expression does when it expresses itself. So they come to you and they expect you to wave a magic wand. And that's happened a few times. You know, I can, you know, remember there's a case I share, an event we were involved in working at and running the clinic at, and she came in and she was very clipped and very neat and tidy. And, you know, without a doubt, it was arsenicum, you know, but you know, asking all the right questions, you know, quickly I was up to arsenicum, you know, and we gave it to her and it worked, you know. And it can be times where you can give a remedy which is a polycress, which you know is going to be useful. I mean, one of the ones I can remember, should I say, is a woman came up to me during the Eclipse Festival and said to me, "Oh, you don't remember me, do you?" And I'm going, "No." She's holding this little boy's hand. I thought, "Have I done something naughty?" And she said to me, "I came to you at the Cambridge Folk Festival 8 years ago." She said, "I came with terrible period pains to the point where I was going to have to go home." And she said, "You gave me some Pulsatilla 30 to take as and when." And she said, I took three doses and it went away. She said, I went off and saw this homeopath you suggested. And she said, literally a few weeks later. And she took my case and she gave me Pulsatilla 200. What I didn't know at the time was, she said, I'd actually conceived. I'd been trying to conceive for 3 years.
Oh, really?
So she said, "I know it was a remedy you gave me." And I said, "Well, this is the problem with homeopathy. I can remember treating another lady, not acutely, more chronically. And I know, again, another infertility case where the marriage had disintegrated through IVF. And I said, "You've got to be careful now." And she went out and had a fling with one of her exes and conceived. It's just like, you've got to be careful what you put out there, you know, be careful what you wish for, because homeopathy can have those successes. We can have as many failures as we have successes. We're all really good at talking about our successes. We very, very infrequently talk about our failures.
I'm just in awe in how homeopathy can work if we open up our senses and we just perceive the case as it is coming.
Yeah.
We can actually do wonders, like how our masters have said, go with the keynotes. The remedy is just in front of you. You just need to recognize it. So beautifully said, Marcus. Thank you for doing what you do because... yeah, it is intimidating going out there and trying to prescribe the remedy, and you don't know if it's going to work or if it's not going to work, but you have to try. You have to get out there and help the people. That's when you'll see the magic happen, because we see the magic happening in acutes much quickly than in chronics.
I think we do. Yeah. And what I think is good for, you know, when we're working at some of the smaller events, people will bother to come back and say, "Thank you very much," or, "Hang on a minute, that didn't work," you know, and you sit down and they give you one more symptom. And you think, "If only I'd heard about that 2 days ago, I would have given you this remedy." And you give them that remedy, and a few hours later, they come back and say, "Yeah, it's helping. Thank you."
It's also acute prescribing, and when you're out at festivals and all that, it's exciting, isn't it? It gives homeopathy, it's a buzzing sensation, right? To be able to prescribe on the spot with the presenting ailments or presenting pathology. And it really shows the results. And it's such a beautiful opportunity to win people over, right? Because they've literally just seen it work within 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it may be. And it's such a wonderful experience for them. It's like, "Oh, you gave me arsenicum and it worked." You know, I don't know what I've just taken or what that remedy even means, but something's worked. And that may, you've basically planted a seed, right?
I think that's what it's about. It's, you know, because what we do, a lot of the work we do now, in the early days, we used to treat anything. And then when we had to change insurance companies about 20-odd years ago, we ran and realised that the gentleman's agreement at shaking hands on the event organised, those days are gone. You know, we need a public liability, employer's liability, you know, the legality involved and all the rest of it. We, you know, to the point where I had to write a mission statement about what we were about and what we would do and wouldn't do. So like something that we present to the client and they agree on it or don't agree on it. If they don't agree, then goodbye, go and find somebody else. But you've got to agree with this, that you're accepting responsibility for what's going on. And you know, and the charity's not accepting the responsibility because we're not the practitioner. So, you know, we even got a code of conduct. But the whole game shifted and changed, you know. And so therefore it then meant there was a lot of things we couldn't treat anymore. So you can do a bit of palliative care, but you've got to really, really persuade the person to go off and see somebody. So the number of treatments we do have gone down, but the number of referrals we do has gone up. Engaging the referral system is quite difficult, but we do know from some of the people that have managed to have referrals done to them in, you know, like in a team of people where we've got 20 homeopaths working in Glastonbury, a large number of them will get a number of referrals. I think in 37 years, I've only probably had two. Some of the events I do, you know, people at the festival are more likely to be my clients or my wife's clients, so you know, so they'll come and see us for the acute flare-up or whatever's going on, you know. So that's what happens, is that, you know, the more well-known homeopaths become, you find that some of the smaller events that we've got local homeopaths working, a lot of the people that they will be dealing with, some of those people might be their clients.
Well, it's nice. Really buzzing. It's a buzzing collective, you know, and it's a really wonderful stories as well.
It's not like that someone is just going to be there in a festival. There is a proper training that you give who wants to join the collective, isn't it?
Yeah, we run a whole day's training. I do a quick bit on how to take the case. Basically because they're just full of fear. You know, even they've been in practice for 20-odd years, 30 years, you know. And they say, well, the reason why I've come is I need to improve my acute prescribing skills. So I don't do much prescribing anymore because we're doing so much promotion for the profession. And I might be out front talking to people and then engaging with them and bringing them in. Okay, yes, we can help you. Oh, no, though, we can't help you. Can I just take your name for and I'll give you a referral? It's something that, you know, they'll go away. Nobody goes away empty handed is what I'm saying. They come out with a remedy and a name of a homeopath. They come out with a name of a homeopath, yeah? So there's something for everyone, really. And even if only 20% of them were to take that up, that's still, you know, at some of the smaller events, that could still be, you know, like half a dozen or a dozen people or 40 people that take up homeopathy that would never, ever happen before, you know. Then you've got all the people that just walk past big 4-meter wind feathers that say homeopathy. Not quite with the diphthong, but we never dropped the AEO because that's another story. Anyway, so we've kept it the traditional way, but, you know, in when you're doing it down this way, you can't do the diphthong because it says homeopathy going horizontally rather than vertically. And vertically rather than horizontally, let's get around the right way.
You know, people find it hard just to understand homeopathy. So what do? You leave the extra O in, so it's like I can't even pronounce it. So how am I going to possibly know how it works? Forget it.
Now they say in case
it's OEO.
Well, yes, because if you change the spelling, you become the same homeopathy rather than similar. So, you know, Harlem will be turning in his urn or in his grave or wherever he's in Paris. He'll be turning anyway.
It's a grave, I think.
Look what they've done for it. But yeah, it makes the whole meaning change, you know. And I can remember Peter Fraser and myself campaigning when the profession was out to change it, saying, no, you've got to change the whole meaning of it all, even, you know. So yeah, we're a road school as much as we can be with it all. So yeah, the fact that there's thousands of people that walk past these wind feathers, you know, like Glastonbury, 250,000 people could potentially walk past our signage and it gets lodged in their subconsciousness. And suddenly they're back home in Bristol, Bath, wherever, or even Delhi or Mumbai, wherever they are. And suddenly they think, ah, I'm not feeling very well. What's this homeopathy about? And the next minute, they're Googling around and then they've made an appointment to go off and see somebody. So we don't know how much of that actually goes on, but we just know over the years, millions of people have walked past us and seen what we're up to. And we have chalkboards outside the front of our clinics and it lists the complaints of the day based on the weather.
That
gets people engaging, you know, like screaming babies and menstrual pain or whatever, you know, like saying, well, I haven't got menstrual pain, so how could it help me? And you're thinking, oh, go away when you're sober, and I'll come back and I'll treat your hangover. You know?
You know what they do, what they're doing now is some of my clients, they said when you go to a pharmacy talking about the child is screaming or they have a rash or something, they offer them antihistamines. And the mother says, I don't want it. I just want to know what it is. And they say, he'll sleep better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And is it the only thing that we need?
Antihistamines.
Antihistamines.
Who knows? Yeah. We can't actually go into it, but you know, there's so many people that anyway, yes, moving on quickly. This is the Homeopathy Health Show.
it's just because I know when my eldest was younger, we couldn't get antihistamines for kids. For younger age, and now every child is getting is on antihistamines. If someone is sneezing, they will be looking at him like this. Oh, why is he sneezing? Why is he not taking his antihistamines? No, we're not introducing antihistamines. We are working in a different way, as you mentioned. We are working constitutionally. We don't want to suppress.
It's really. I mean, the environment. I am going to go there. I just can't resist. But it's just so strange, isn't it? You could say that you can't sleep, right? Or you could wake up with just some knee pain, or your fingernails are growing too quick, and it's like, you need to be on statins. You say, what the hell? What's that got to do with anything? No, you got to be on statins, because this is all related. But it's not. It's... anyway. But
coming back.
Yes.
I actually seriously believe in what you have said. If the banner is there, and if they're reading homeopathy and they are reading the complaints of the day, it is going to stay there. If it's not going to stay there with the parents, the 6-year-olds, the 7-year-olds who have just started to read, they read everything, they read every board and whatever is around them. Might be the homeopaths of the future. They might try homeopathy when nothing has worked, or before they have tried anything that is not going to work. So that's a beautiful service to homeopaths, to the community. And it's not easy. Like, everyone else is enjoying and you are in the tent prescribing, helping people, other homeopaths are there, just because we want them to see there is something out there. There's nothing is always paracetamol. They can actually try the sugar pills that can actually do their magic. You don't know how it happened, but the headache that was there 5 minutes ago just vanished. And it happens in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it does. You know, going back to the Nature Muir case, you know, she gave her 1:30 and the next minute she was outside juggling again, you know, like, because she'd cooled off anyway, you know, removed the maintaining cools of the sunlight, you know, in a cool, airy space, you know. And the magic happens. And sometimes common sense is what prevails. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes a remedy is not the answer. It may be that, you know, you can give them something, but really they need to go away and they need to stop doing the maintaining calls and stop doing the drugs or the alcohol and go away and drink a couple of litres of water, you know. Or go and buy a sun hat or go and buy some sun blocker. You know, sometimes you've got to remove the maintaining calls when you know that's what the maintaining calls is, you know.
Yes.
And at times people will come in, and as you quite rightly say, they come in and say, "Have you got any antihistamines? No, but we've got something better than that. Have you got 15 minutes of your time? Give it to me. It's going to cost you £20. We're going to send you out with a remedy, you know." And it's a way you've got to sell it to them, you know. That's a large part of where we're at the moment, you know, within the service we provide. And the events that we used to do, a lot of them we don't do anymore. Some of them have disappeared. Sadly, you know, yes, we could do loads and loads more events, but it costs so many thousands of pounds because they all want money for us to go into it. The early days of the whole circuit, you know, we didn't have to pay to get into an event. Because we are a charity, you know, and what we're doing complements the medical services as well as the Samaritans or for her.
So now you have to pay to get into the events.
Well, if we want to do some of the ones we were doing, yes.
Okay.
The problem is they see how well we do and how visual we are. You know, we're very colourful. So can we take the main rig off somewhere? We also run a water feature with a fountain in and a load of homeopathic plants, the label on them. So it really, we really try to bring the audience into us. And sometimes you've got to redevise, you know, the whole plan of it all. Like at Glastonbury, we run this pond again, and there's usually a theme. So at night we have a backdrop, and they had a fairy theme one year, and they had a dragon theme. So had all these silhouettes of dragons dancing around. And we became a big hit on Instagram. You know, we make sure the word homeopathy is in there somewhere. So it goes out on all the social media settings. A load of people will know about us. And then we've got an old iconic bus as well, which was actually in the 50th anniversary book written about Glastonbury. There she is, the old Beast Boudica. There she is, with Glastonbury written on a destination.
Wow.
So whatever we do, we try to raise the profile. It's on a subliminal level, do you know what I mean? Because if you don't, it's a missed opportunity. You know?
Isn't it absolutely the best life, okay, that as a homeopath, it's not, and this is no disrespect, of course, to any profession at all whatsoever, but just purely personally as homeopaths, you know, we don't have to wear a name badge and a white coat. We can just be anywhere we want to be, and we just have to listen and have some well-selected or chosen remedies at hand for acutes, let's say.
Yeah.
And we can help anybody at any time. It doesn't matter. It's such a privilege, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, what homeopaths gain out of it is the confidence. By the time they've done a weekend with us, they have the confidence to talk about homeopathy, to sell homeopathy, to actually sit down and do an acute in 15, 20 minutes. You know, some of them have gone off and they've turned their practices around. They've started providing acute service to their current clients. And you know, then they've seen how well that's worked for them, or their friends have, should I say. And then suddenly they're turning up on their doorsteps. So, it's really good, you know.
I think, personally, acute prescribing is the backbone of homeopathy, because this not... as I mentioned earlier, this does not give confidence or relaxation or the quick response they want, a parent want from a child or a child want from a remedy, but it also grows your confidence into what you are giving. And then if you are stuck with a case, actually in that acute prescription, if one remedy has worked, you can go into the relationship of the remedies and look at, okay, this remedy, what will be the chronic remedy for this? And a big map opens up for you. So I was in acute prescribing before I became a chronic prescriber. So I really enjoy acute prescribing. I have four kids and I have been doing it with them since they're born. And the magic that you see with the arnica, like the bruise going away in front of your eyes, you are never going to witness it otherwise. So.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
It's brilliant. You're going to be surprised with what we're going to say. But before we say that, there's always time for this. So the work that you do, how you serve people, how you help people, the Homeopaths Collective, and everything that you do behind the scenes, because we know how much you do behind the scenes. We have lots of grapevines, so we hear a lot. Honestly, we give you the utmost respect and honor, and it's just, you know, thank you for everything that you do and continue to do, because it's homeopaths like you who actually truly make a difference. And honestly saying that, we're saying that, you know, from our hearts, right, Naila? Because
absolutely,
it's that service, isn't it, Naila?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Marcus, for whatever you do. And hopefully we have inspired many homeopaths listening to us to join you in the journey to become the homeopaths for future, because we are seeing in schools that young blood is joining homeopathy. And to get the confidence, I think it will be really worthwhile to join the Travelling Homeopaths Collective, because that can give them the confidence they need. That can give them the grounding they need for a successful practice. Thank you, Marcus. Before we go, we are going to do quick rapid fire, just one word or two words answers. And okay.
3 seconds you have. More than that.
I just don't know where the hour went, but we really enjoyed this wonderful conversation, because we can see, we can feel the energy, the love of homeopathy that you are radiating. And that's what we live for. We love what we do. We love homeopathy. And in our way, by becoming the voice of homeopathy, we are spreading the love by listening. You doing it by hearing and sharing. And we are also... we are also trying to do some service for homeopathy.
It's brilliant, and we're going to ask you these questions with all our senses still intact. we're still here. You know, we could ask you nose, ear, mouth, what you know, but here we go. Ready, steady, and dilate. Go.
Repertory first or materia medica first?
Oh,
time's up.
Time's up. A bit of both. You don't need knowledge of your materia medica. You gain that through practice and from experience.
Brilliant.
The most underrated acute remedy.
The most underrated one, rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
We give out chamomilla when you get the sour stools. When it's not chopped eggs and spinach, it should be rhubarb rheum.
Or rheum.
Yeah, it's
or
a really good
as well.
One.
Yeah, wonderful.
It is his rapid fire, not yours.
Oh, sorry. yeah. I just love to take part in that. You know.
The common mistake homeopaths make in acute cases.
The common mistake? They give the similar and not the similimum. It's splitting hairs, but
whoa, that's deep.
Deep. We can do another podcast episode on this only.
Which one did you choose? Did you choose the blue button or the red button?
Bing, dong. Or if you're doing polypharmacy, you know, you're thinking, why did you do that? You know, and I still today don't understand polypharmacy on that level. When you look at each individual remedy, one antidotes the other. So you're thinking the remedy's having a hard time before it even gets into somebody's body. Well, how are they going to respond?
Okay. Hey, sound, touch, light, smell, or texture. Sound, light, this is a long one, so I'll have to repeat it. Sound, touch, light, smell, or texture, which sensory response gives you the greatest insight?
Thank you for joining us. And again, from all of our hearts, for whatever you do, we really, really appreciate all the work that goes into this, because we know it's not easy at all. It's bringing everyone together, doing what you love is... takes time, it takes effort, it takes courage, and it takes a lot of money, because then that flows back into this and then we have to collect. Thank you. And if you have any links that we can put in our chat that people can log into or donate or anything, we'll be happy to share that. And you said you're easily available on Google, easily searchable on Google. So people can just put your name on Google and find everything.
It will do. Clean my past.
Wonderful. And ladies and gentlemen, this is also part of the Society of Homeopaths assigned podcast as well. As you know, the Homeopathy Health Show is part of the CPD credits. And you can find us as practitioners on Society of Homeopaths website. So this will also go out as a special CPD podcast as well. So it's wonderful. Marcus, it's honestly, it's been buzzing, and it's so much energy coming from you. The passion and the love and the woohoos, you know, it's wonderful. Thank you so much. Do stay on air for now. But otherwise, as far as the episode is concerned, Nyla, closing words?
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please tune in every week and share the love of homeopathy by sharing our podcast with everyone you know, because you never know who will be a convert next week. And please push the subscribe button. It's very helpful if you subscribe to the channel. I know you all listen, but we always forget to press a subscribe button, because then it reaches more people. So please do that. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.